Hello and welcome to Shashin, conversation about photography. I'm Giovanni, your host, and I'm podcasting from Tokyo. Compared to the previous episode, the format we change. We will not be limiting ourselves to Japanese photography alone, but we will only record informal conversation with photographer. In this case, and for the next episodes, we will be talking to photographers selected for the next collective publication of Zero Feedback, and the theme is the annihilation of space and time. So without further ado, I'm happy to introduce a talented Norwegian photographer, Sunniva Estenes. First of all, nice to meet you.
Likewise.
I'm Giovanni.
I'm Sunniva.
Sunniva. I was worried how to pronounce your name.
Yeah, it's very Norwegian.
Sunniva Estenes.
Yes, perfect.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, first of all, thank you for agreeing of doing this interview. And yeah, mostly I want to use this opportunity to introduce the work of the photographer who will participate to the publication. And I want to listen about who they are, what they like to do. And so please, if you can introduce yourself.
Yes, well, my name is Sunniva Estenes. I'm originally from Norway, but I am studying in Sweden right now. I'm doing a bachelor grade in photography, so I'm in my last year in the course. And I mainly shoot analog, and I'm interested in themes such as dystopia and violence. And the relationship between the viewer and the one creating the work.
So yeah, I was reading a little bit of material that I found online. That one of the things is you are looking to trigger some reaction from the viewer. Any reaction is okay, or you are looking for something particular?
Any reaction is okay, but I think in my personal case, I would like to relate to other people and to meet them on the same premise as myself. Makes sense. So if I'm exploring a story that is quite personal or has some very specific themes, and I meet someone who can relate to those and start a conversation in that way and maybe trigger something in them so that they can create based off of my creation, then that's kind of my end goal.
But I understand.
I don't mean to provoke in the sense that I want to offend someone. I just want to create a relationship with people.
Look, we can say maybe, tell me if I'm correct, your work starts from your emotion, so you put yourself in your work, and probably how we meet a person and we connect to a person, so you are doing the same with your work.
Yes, I try to.
Yeah, of course, I understand. How you decide to go on this path of your personal feeling?
I think it's the only thing that makes sense for me, because I'm kind of using art as a way of figuring out myself and others and my position in the world, but also as a form of help in terms of figuring out certain experiences or ways of thinking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. So how was the pandemic in where you were in Sweden at that time, Norway?
Both, actually. I attended a school before the one I'm studying at now in Norway. So I was at my last year there. It's a 2-year school. So I was actually on a class trip, and then the pandemic happened, and then we went home, complete isolation, quarantine, everything. And then I decided to move to Sweden, which was a very odd experience, because Sweden wasn't in lockdown at the time. It was quite open, and it has been for quite a while as well. although they, of course, had some restrictions regarding school and public transport and everything, but a completely different experience compared to Norway, which was completely isolated.
Well, yeah.
So in a way, I was lucky. So.
Yeah, I had a similar experience because of Italy, the lockdown and the whole thing was like blown out of proportion. But in Japan, there was no lockdown whatsoever. We just asked to restrain to go out, but there is no limitation, transportation, museum, anything. So I was reading the news of Italy and here I was like, I don't want to say normal, but yeah. So do you feel or do you develop some project during the 2 years, years and a half? How does it affect you?
It's a good question because I'm sure that it has affected me quite a lot, but in a way that I can't completely pinpoint because at the same time as the pandemic started, I also started a new life in a different country, different people. So I find it difficult to distinguish which changes came from moving and which changes came from the pandemic. But of course, there are some effects that I can pinpoint in terms of having to be online all the time and how you got bombarded by the news outlets and everything. I mean, it affects everyone, and in some, I think I'm losing track a bit, but ways, I think my opinions kind of got confirmed and the things I wanted to explore because of the algorithm, because when you spend such a great amount of time online, then you kind of get fed with everything you're interested in.
Yeah.
So in some ways, I grew in the areas that I wanted to explore and became a lot safer in terms of developing those things. But at the same time, I didn't look at all the other things I didn't want to look at. So maybe it made my practice a bit more specific, but at the same time, I lost some other aspects of life, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's the famous bubble where apparently now everyone live in because we are constantly fed by the algorithm. What you like, what you already like, no chance of discovery, anything new. Yeah, that's pretty scary though.
Yeah. How did you experience it? Can I ask that?
Yeah, it was, let's say, in a sense, stressful because as soon as the pandemic started, I lost every work. So I didn't have any income for like several months. So that was a huge stress. And in retrospect, I thought I could enjoy that time better because I had a lot of free time. I started a lot of new things. So this publication is one, Influences is one of the projects that start almost in that period. But I was too, I don't want to scared, but I was really under stress. Yeah, also, it's like you. I cannot exactly say how this affect me. And plus, I was living, as you, this duality of the two completely experienced in different countries. But yeah, it was tough. It was mentally tough. And how is it now? Then apparently everything is finished.
How do you feel? Apparently everything is finished. That is exactly how it is right now.
Right.
And it's, in some ways, I'm relieved because I don't want to think about it because it was tough mentally for everyone. But in other words, or in a different case, you don't know whether it's coming back or...
Yeah.
There is something about this ignorance is bliss saying that is very... forward in this case because you don't want to think about it, and also when you experience certain restrictions get placed upon you by the government in your personal life, then you would rather not experience that again. You know, but it creates a possibility because you've seen how things have ended up and been handled during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But also in terms of your prior question, yeah. I was also quite privileged in the sense that I went from one school to another school. Mm-hmm. I wasn't freelancing. I had access to a studio and I could come. My education was online, but I could still relax and make work and, of course, be a bit stressed about the situation. But it didn't stop my creative process, which I'm very thankful for, because I know a lot of people didn't experience that. So.
Yeah, true. That I understand, because also I feel, of course, privileged, because even I lost all the work. I was a freelance, so my situation is completely different from maybe who is just employee. But in a sense, I mean, these past, let's say, 2 years, it was a kind of like fertile soil for a lot of creativity, I felt, because people didn't know what to do and they suddenly have like more time on their hand. So they start to explore several things. I don't know the results, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure some.
And so, but you said there was any restriction in Sweden about the pandemic. There was no lockdown at any time.
Not in terms of not being able to go outside or not being able to go into stores. There was like a restricted amount of how many people could go into certain places. The masks weren't mandatory. They were a recommendation. But every public institution was in lockdown. So schools, for example, were almost fully online. So in that aspect, they had a lockdown, but not in real life on the street. But they also restricted some, like, how long you could stay out at bars, how many people could get in, how many people could be seated. So there were, of course, restrictions, but not anything compared to Italy or any other place, you know.
Some place was really hardcore. I'm still glad that I was in that situation, because I feel it's really like heavy, not only your feeling, but also on your mind. I think really affect you. I felt I been back in Italy after almost 3 years, and people are so different. You can't see this at all on like on the psychological side, because people are stressed. I don't know, but it's ugly. Looks ugly. So in term of creativity, before the pandemic, you were already in school.
Yeah.
Can I ask why you decide to enroll in the school?
Because I am, you know, quite young. It wasn't an option. And I wanted to see if I could get in. And the school I was attending before this one only ended in a diploma. So you were a photographer on paper, but you didn't have a bachelor's degree. And it's quite difficult as a femme presenting person to be taken seriously in gallery spaces and in general, and even more so if you don't have a bachelor's degree. So I thought that would be the next step, and I needed a change. So I applied and I got in, and that's
as simple as... because your photo is so beautiful.
Thank you.
I really like your work. I even before reading anything, I felt that I was watching like a movie, or the narrative is so strong. And the interesting thing is, because this is one thing I'm exploring a lot, like to find connection between the images, no matter how you put in the... Of course, you have probably your sequence. But if I change the sequence, there is still a story. Maybe the story is a little bit different. The Kulnikov effect, that, right? So,
yes.
So when you do the sequences of your photo, do you start with a story in your mind, or it unfolds in front of you while you try to find some combination?
I think it depends on the project because if I tend to work with other mediums as well, but if I work with just photography, then I tend to do either research first and then try to create some images after, or I have no limitations as to what my project is going to be about, and I just shoot a roll of film, I develop it, I scan it, and then I see my associations with that, and then I do that again and again and again. But in many of my projects, I've worked with the thought of making a book. So in that sense, I print it all out. I try to see which ones communicate with each other, which ones resemble each other, and then if there is an aesthetic overall resemblance or if it's something else. And then I try to kind of figure out what these images are associated with, like trying to read them. But most of my final decisions are based on intuition, and I know that's a big no-no, but it's also based off of research in combination with that. So I follow my gut, and then I think about it, take breaks, I read about it, and then I come back, and then I see if it makes sense still, or if I have to adjust something.
So do you rely only on yourself, or do you have someone you trust? Because I talk to different photographers, and everyone have his own version. So I have a version, the people who show to 100 people. The version doesn't show to anyone until the work is finished. So who are you?
It begins with myself first. In the first selection, and then I normally either speak to my father, which is quite interested in my work, to get like some kind of approval in terms of which ones affect him emotionally or not. He doesn't always define how it affects him, but if he has a response, then I kind of figure out that okay, it's something here. But I also ask my co-workers and my fellow students and my friends, because most of my community are photographers or musicians or any form of artist. And I think it's smart for my process, at least, to have someone else's eyes on it, because there is a difference between what I am trying to communicate and actually communicating. So yeah, it's a bit of both.
No, it's interesting what you say about your father. Was your father also shooting photography, or he just interested in your work, or what's the connection?
He's actually the reason that I started, and it's very sweet.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It's great. So inherited the hobby, and then it becomes a career. It's wonderful. But I actually made an exhibition and a book dedicated to him because of that, because he was shooting. He was a hobby photographer because he was a mailman, and he's been that for maybe 40 years. Because of that job, he got access to a darkroom, so he would shoot photographs and develop them and attend that community of people wanting to become photographers. But he stopped about 30 years before I was born, but still kept all his negatives, all the gear and everything. So at some point, I started asking about the gear when I was quite little. Like, how does this work? What is this? It made no sense to me because it was analog photography. But then he kind of picked up on that interest, so he decided to buy a digital camera and kind of for himself so he could come back to it. But then he saw how interested I was, so he ended up giving it to me, and then I would just take photographs all the time, and he would look at them and tell me how the composition looked and like small technical terms. And then it just went from there. And he would always give me feedback and appreciate my work. So I kind of tried to make a book and an exhibition so that he would or start again to get back to his like love for photography. He didn't though, but he still loves it in some ways. So,
do you know the reason why he didn't?
I think it was too expensive for him. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, film photography is expensive. Yeah. Oh, I understand. Yeah, it's a similar story as me. My father, when I was little, he was an amateur photographer. He had a dark room in the home. So I remember, like, when I was 5 or 6, developing the photo and printing the photo at home. And then many years later, he always take photos. I think he lost a little bit his, how can I say, his touch when he started to go into digital photography, because I feel it wasn't really his media. And then I inherit his camera, and then I start from there. So yeah, I understand that connection.
It's for you to talk about photography.
Actually, he passed this January. So, and after that, I also stopped to take any photos, because the connection was, it was the, maybe the most person I was talking about photography. And now I start again like 2 months ago. So yeah, but it was a huge, huge part of I still think what he said to me, like you, the framing, the, oh, this, you should cut this way, or yeah, it's somehow such a wisdom. I see. Now, so I wanted to ask you actually the trivial question, like, why film photography? But I think you already answered. Why? Yeah. Yeah, right?
Nostalgia. And I, that's some part of it, but also that I like the aesthetics of it. It has a different look than digital. But I actually didn't get into analog photography until I attended my last school.
Okay.
Because we had to. So I never picked up his analog camera. I only took the digital. But then I got an introduction into the darkroom through my other school. And then that was it. I kind of found my aesthetic preference. And it's been like that since. So.
It's only a matter of aesthetic, or it also a question, do you feel different when you shoot a digital, when you shoot a film?
It's also a question of process, of course, because I think I need the patience in terms of not seeing what I've captured instantly, but giving it time, and also being forced to trust myself in terms of how I shoot and what I shoot, which is a tool that I'm quite grateful for. With digital, it's very instant for me, and that's, of course, very helpful in certain situations, but it's not my process right now.
The digital, of course, is a great tool, because you can experiment and see immediately the result. But the film for me is really more I have more meditation when I shoot, and then sometimes I decide not to shoot something. With the digital, that will never happen. Actually, maybe I will shoot 10 times that things. I don't know, maybe I'm too nostalgic, I'm not too sure, but I feel there is a value in that.
The sound, right. We don't want that. It's different.
I feel you don't think enough to what you're shooting sometimes. No, I don't want to like demonize the digital, but and in term of like your practice, what's the biggest value that you get from your studies, from your school? What's the thing for you is most important?
Right now it's actually the academic part, because I am attending Akademie Valand in Gothenburg, which is a school that is based off of academic texts. So you have to include certain theories and you have to read a whole lot. And that is something I didn't do before. I was a bit afraid of it. I, of course, read all the big books like on photography regarding the Kind of Others, Camera Lucida, all of those. but I never went any further in terms of actually reading theory, probably because I was a bit afraid. Because I had this view that it might kill my creativity, like other people. And that's also the case for some people. But for me, it's been very helpful in terms of positioning myself, because my biggest struggle with photography is figuring out other people's view of it. That is something I can at least come a bit closer to through theory, because I know what tools exist and which strategies exist. And also in terms of learning more about representation, who am I, what do I want to bring, what can I bring, and what can I not bring into this world, you know? Which is a good thing for me.
For everyone, actually. Yeah, I understand, because I always wonder. I didn't attend any academic formation, but I always wonder. I always felt there is a risk, like the who go to school and you have a specific training, then the output tend to be similar. I don't feel it's the same for everyone, but do you feel there is the risk for somebody?
Of course. It takes a lot of courage, for one, to put something out there that is not the same aesthetics or themes as someone else, because if someone has done it before, then it's easier to do it after them. And I'm not saying that I am some exception. A part of that, but I think there is a risk, but it's also a risk you have to take, because another aspect of the school is also that you're surrounded by creative people who can talk, and you can create like giving relationships, and not just in terms of art, but also in terms of life. And that's such a huge privilege, to be surrounded by people who feel the same way about the world as you do. And in that way, you can help each other to also find your own voice. But you need courage, and you also need to see that your work resembles someone else's and figure out what to do with that. Because I don't know, I had this teacher that I still look up to this day. Norwegian active photographer and artist, and he said something about it's okay to steal photographs as long as you make it your own at some point. And that's this saying that I'm not carrying it around in that way, that I'm copying other people, but I think it's relevant in terms of your question, because you have to learn from other people in order to create something yourself. So there is a danger that you might become a copy of someone, but in order to become your own person, you kind of have to do that before.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think at certain point, you will have inspiration. Consciously or unconsciously, you will have. And not only from photos, like maybe from movie, maybe from music, maybe from, I don't know, other things. But yeah, as you said, the important thing is go forward and then develop from that. And another thing, I don't know if it's the same thing for you, but I tend to understand, yes, it was something that was connected to my practice before, and then for some period I lost it. To always have a concept behind what you're doing. Never do just you can for fun, but it's not gonna come out anything good out of it. What do you think?
I think it depends on where you are in your life, because I felt that I've had to have a concept for quite a long time. And then at some point, it just didn't work anymore. I couldn't figure it out. I went nowhere. I was just stuck. And then I tried just making something And it ended up being painting instead of photography, video instead of photography. But it started something, and then I could go back to photography and have a concept again. So I think it depends on what you need at
It's an interesting answer. Yes, I agree with you, actually.
I just find it so difficult. You know, life is very complex, and every experience is very complex. So I feel like most of my answers are very, like, it might be this or this, but that's actually how I experience the world. Because
I understand. It's better, I think, doubtful than being like sure of something and then you're just like in a dead end road. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think curiosity is a big part probably of this attitude.
Yeah.
So you said now, so you do photography, painting and video also, right? Because I saw something on your website.
Yes. The video aspect is quite new. I just made a video work, actually. And painting I've done unofficially for quite some time. I mean, no one has painted in their life. But there is something about spray painting and particularly abstract painting that interests me, and I would like to figure out why. Because I look at photography as something that is very subjective, but it is also concrete unless you work cameraless. But with painting, you don't really, in my opinion, have to think about what you want to depict. You can also just act, so it kind of becomes this performance. You can also do that with photography, of course, but I feel like photography is much more concrete in terms of pictures often being of something that exists already. But with painting, you can create something that is not in the real world yet. And that's interesting for me.
Yeah, I understand. And also the physical part, it's somehow connected, resonate in a different way. I used to do live cinema for years at the beginning, like end of the 90s, beginning of 2000. And one strong component was like, I was always behind a computer, even during the performance. And I felt like, yeah, I'm here. The audiences look at the video, look at me, look at the musician. And I'm like, I'm writing an email. It's the same. My body, it's the same thing. So I try to introduce more physical things, and I know it's different because mine is like more performance for the audience, but also for myself. But on the painting, it's more a physical act of making that object at the end. So now you're going forward with these three things in parallel, like photo, video, painting.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, like I kind of stated earlier, what my needs are. So at the moment, I think my needs are doing something very physical and kind of just acting and seeing where it goes. But photography has always been there, and it's always going to be in the back of my mind. So I have some projects that I am working on within photography, but my main interest right now is the body, I think, and also its presence in regards to anything like the people looking, or the object in hand, or the text I'm reading. I think I'm in a process of trying to figure out its capabilities and its restrictions, and also its meaning as an object, maybe. I think I'm focusing on the three parallels, but I'm taking one medium one day at a time. So maybe photography today, and then film tomorrow, painting the day after. Kind of letting it grow as it wants to grow, you know.
Another trivial question I have for you. So, of course, now, until now, we talk about creation, about practice, but then I think if you don't put your work out in the world, of course, you did it for yourself, but then the other purpose is to show to the audience and to the public. How do you work in that sense? Because I found you, and I think you... I forget where, how I found you. Do you participate in the PEP exhibition, maybe? Yeah, that's... Yeah, I was one, also one of them. I guess you accept calls and you do this kind of stuff. You do by yourself?
Applying.
Yeah.
For, I try to do that at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I either go by word of mouth, someone has participated, I apply, or Pictor.com.
Oh, yeah.
Because they publish a lot of open calls. And then I just apply and I apply and I apply. Because if the worst thing that can happen is that I get a no, and the best case is that I get an exhibition and now I'm participating in a podcast, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answered your question, but I think it's just been thought to apply because that's the best chance I got, you know? Because the saying goes, any PR is good PR, you know?
Yeah.
And if my goal with photography and art in general is to cause an effect or move someone, then this right here is probably an example of that, you know, and that also gives me motivation to continue.
I understand, but also, like, for me, what was, I don't want to say interesting, I don't know which word I can use, but it was like how you were open and like I felt enthusiastic, and of course that's great, you know. It's like, I didn't have the same response from other people. From other people, no response at all. And that's totally, I mean, I understand any reaction. Of course, what I want to do in this project and my, overall in my life is to create good connection. I don't want to work with people, then I feel, I need to feel bad about it because, I don't know, because they are happy what I did or for other, I don't care. I don't have time for this. So, probably also I think this is your attitude. It's kind of help you put your work outside. Are you represented by any gallery at the moment, or are you looking into that?
I am not at the moment. I don't think I'm looking for it. Well, because I think I need to have a sense of which galleries are available and which I'm kind of interested of being represented by and who's also interested in representing me. But right now I think I'm just focused on my degree and my projects because I feel like I have to be safe in my position as someone who is creating before being represented by someone.
Yes, yeah, so but, do you believe in like having a body of work is important for you, first of all?
Yeah, I think so. And if this is something that leads to something that I can actually live off of it, then I also have to feel like I can represent that. And if the opportunity presents itself, then I'll give it more thought. But right now, I think I'm just focused on working mainly.
Yeah, also, I'm like careful to do, to ask questions that are like too forward in the future. Because I never know the people how I feel about the future. For example, I hate thinking about the future. It just gives me anxiety. So if people start to say, what you do next year? I don't know. I don't know what I eat tomorrow for breakfast. So please stop me anytime if like you want to talk about
it. Yes, noted.
I really want to avoid that, you know, to make people uncomfortable with my nosy question.
We're good for now. No hard feelings.
Thank you. Have you ever considered like doing commercial work, or have you ever done it?
I have done a bit. So I've done concert photography and special events, no weddings, but like smaller. And I've also done single covers and album covers. It's something that got me into the art world in a way, because I did that when I was younger. But in some senses, I think I'm too individualistic. I don't necessarily want to collaborate unless it's something I actually want to do. So I do some commercial photography now still, which is single covers, PR for people I know or in my community that I know has some understanding of my aesthetic and that respect me, instead of just another photography or another photographer taking pictures. It's people who come to me because they feel like I can capture something very specific. And in that way, I kind of keep my integrity and I can also experiment and have fun. So for now, because I'm a student, I am allowed to do that.
Shoot.
In the future, I might not be allowed to have a preference, you know. It's also a question of how to get money. But right now, I'm in the position where I can explore and I can also create something with other people, based on something commercial, but still not in a way.
No, I understand. Make totally sense, and I totally agree with you. I think until you can say no to, I don't want to say commercial, or every commercial work is bad, because it's not like that. I think there is like some happy island where you can find your space for your creativity, like unconditioned creativity. But yes, if you can go by your path, yeah, do it without even thinking about it. It's not worth it, because you will just end up unhappy or and questioning why I did accept that work. And I feel from this 30 minute we talk, I don't know, no, almost 1 hour, you have a, I don't want to say strong idea of yourself, but you kind of know you want to go that direction.
Yeah, I try to, at least. I know what I don't like, you know.
So what you don't like, I want to know. Let's open the closet.
Exactly. I would not say many things, something. If I don't like participating in experiences where I lose my sense of self or my self-respect or my integrity. If I'm gonna collaborate with someone creatively, it has to be on the premise of mutual respect and mutual bond. And you get certain experiences in this art world that really puts that into perspective, because a lot of people do not share that view. So I think I enjoy being of the company of people with mutual respect. And I dislike the opposite.
I understand. I completely agree 100%. Now, I want to go back to something you said before, because for me, it's something that I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe last 2-3 years, where you were talking about your group of friends, and like through the practice helping each other growing and support each other. So this kind of sense of, I can say community, this kind of sense of support we didn't have when I was your age. And I don't have now. We were like super individualistic. But I started to notice these signs in the most weird space. For example, I was looking at the Olympics, the last Olympics, and there was a skateboard, and there was a girl, I have 15 years old, and after each one finished, every competitor gather each other and hug each other and support each other. I never saw this before in my, when I was younger. Do you feel that, is that real? Is my impression is correct? Or
it's difficult to say because I only know my reality. Yeah. But I think it's a question about generations as well. Because my generation grew up with internet access and communication online.
Yeah.
And maybe the experience of online versus in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I at least appreciate physical contact and support much more because I know a reality without it in terms of being online. But it might also be because my group is very focused on communicating and being open and making space for people's emotions and people's backgrounds and experiences, and in general are very upfront about everything. Because my group is like that, or because I surround myself with those kinds of people, then it's easier to connect in real life as well. But I am sure that some other groups are the opposite, maybe, because I find a lot of comfort in knowing that people are both physically but also mentally there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I understand. You know, I was quiet because I was imagining, like, when I was a teenager. I think, probably one thing that you pinpoint is, like, the period, like, we grew up. Of course, there was no internet still. There was no, 15, there was no mobile phones. And there was an, I don't know, the worries was different. We were more carefree. And I feel, but I am not sure again because it's a generational thing, that you grew up in a more harsh environment. So you are charged by all these external factors that, how can I say, make your life more anxious, probably.
For sure. And it's also, it has something to do with being connected all the time.
Okay.
I mean, both to people, but also in terms of education, you can read about everything at any time of the day, and you can get any answer you would like because you have a small screen in your hand that tells you the answers. And that also gives you education in terms of, for example, consent or other ways of living, different experiences, politics, whatever. You can get any information you'd like. But also the, pardon my phrasing, but the bad information, right?
Yeah.
Which is bullying, images of violence. I mean, you're exposed to much more than you're capable of taking in and also figuring out. And that brings a lot of anxiety, which I'm sure in turn creates a lot of comfort-seeking behavior.
Yeah, because I think, let me see my notes. I was reading in one of your projects the fact that you want to shout. Oh, it was shedding. Yeah, shedding. In shedding, you are talking about the desire to scream loud but not be able to do. Do you think this is a factor from the environment?
In some ways, yes. In other ways, it's I think my initial reason for writing that description is because it was a very personal project to me that was based off of family dynamics and relationships. But that also affects your presence online and what you're exposed to. So I think that project came to be because I was in need of a change.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also, I think I made that precisely when the pandemic hit as well, which is when you're in a position where you can't necessarily change or move or do anything, which is the one time where you're actually exposed to that feeling of not being able to do anything about it. Or I'm going to rephrase that, because I think my clearest experience with the pandemic that I forgot to say earlier, that it pinpointed some things that I have been avoiding, because I, like many other people, would rather pursue some kind of escapism instead of actually dealing with certain emotions or experiences. And the pandemic kind of forced you to do that, because you couldn't go abroad, you couldn't go out to drink, you couldn't do all of these coping mechanisms or whatever you would like to do. You could only sit there and maybe read and maybe start a hobby, but you also had to focus on the emotions that were present. And that is absolutely what I had to do, but it's the one thing I didn't want to do. And that, I think that's why I created a project as well, because it's much easier to deal with visual illustrations of something than abstract things in your head, because it's very difficult to sense your own emotions if you haven't practiced doing it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So in terms of that, I think that was a product of something very specific and a time and a place. But if I were to do it now, it would be something different, because starting that project forced me to work on that specific thing, which is the reason why I'm here right now doing what I'm doing. Mm. So that's also something very nice.
Yeah, it is. So we can say that like making that project was a cathartic for you, like in term of like, I don't want to say kill that feeling, but understand that feeling and put in a certain direction.
Yeah.
This I think is a thing that people sometimes forget about art in general. Also, when observing the work of other, now we say something that everybody know, but I mean the span of attention now, it's so changed right now. And when I go to the exhibition, any exhibition, and I saw the people just going look at the exhibition like that, and I'm thinking, why are you even coming here? Or there's also other people, and that is the one that baffles me most. They are like taking the selfie with the artwork on the backside.
Yeah.
Man, that's so crazy. I saw this woman, she took a selfie. Every artwork in the museum, she took a selfie with her. So for some people, this world completely distorts reality. Like, there is no hope, I think, for them.
It sounds like an incredible experience seeing her taking selfie after selfie. I mean, her gallery must be full of incredible art.
Yeah.
And her face.
Yeah.
It's great. I would love it.
No, I mean, if it was a project, I can appreciate that, but I'm sure it wasn't. So
maybe it was, you know.
Yeah, probably. But I still feel it's like it was. It's a product of what we are now, what we are exposed right now, and also I was thinking about the pressure of like social network. Of course, I think the use of Instagram, for you as for myself, is different from other people, but I think there's a huge component there also in how these, they're tools, but how they affect our life, but like so in such a powerful way.
For sure.
You, of course, you don't have this feeling from Instagram, from your use of Instagram, because you used to put your art out, or you feel like this photo didn't get enough like what I was hoping, because I do sometimes.
I think my use of Instagram has changed a lot. I've had it since I was 12, maybe.
Oh.
Which is something I would not have been allowed to do. But it kind of made me change with the app in a way. I've seen all its forms and shapes. And at some point in my life, I was focused on likes, but right now I'm not. Because I've come to the realization that because Instagram is so quick, like any other social platform, it becomes more about having a social persona instead for me. So I'm not sharing all my work. I'm sharing exhibitions. I'm sharing some personal things, but which isn't necessarily personal in someone else's eyes. And I share my interests, and I use it so that people might be interested in my work in the gallery space. So in terms of that, the likes aren't important. It's the exposure. And then, of course, you have to figure out how you want to do that and what's important for you. And there are many conflicts or internal conflicts for me in terms of using social media in that way. But at the same time, it also brings opportunities that I wouldn't have otherwise. And it's also a platform where I'm connected to other artists that work in the same way. I can keep an eye out on what's happening in the world, and I don't really care about the achievements of getting likes anymore, because in the end, it doesn't really matter, you know.
No,
for me.
At the end, also, I reached that point where Instagram is a tool. It's a great tool for creating connection. That is undeniable, because I don't use like other platform as much. So I don't know how, for example, in Japan, Twitter maybe is the most used platform. Maybe I'm too old. I don't know. I don't understand it. It's in a form that I cannot follow. So Instagram is my main app, and it's extremely useful for the whole reason, the way you say. Create connection, keep updated, see what other people are doing, and then meet new people. Okay, so I think we reach 1 hour almost. Let me see. Yeah, 1 hour, 3 minutes. So I will ask the last question and then we can wrap it up. So if there is something else, last thing you want to add? Do you want to share your website or anything?
I can do that. My website is my name, which is sunnivahestenes.com.
Yeah.
And my Instagram is the same. The Instagram is more everyday persona, all of that, like I explained earlier.
Yeah. Sorry, I lied. I want to ask one more question. So you said that Instagram you are using like for almost create an atmosphere of who are you or what you're doing, mostly not who are you. So you prefer the website to share your work, or do you have other ways?
I think that's up to the one looking, actually. But if that person would like a more professional display of work, then the website for sure. If you would like to keep an eye on more spontaneous upcoming things, and maybe also other people in my community, then the Instagram for sure.
Yeah, because I start to feel, actually, another of the reasons why I started the publishing project is because I was really fed up, like, to see the photo, the size of my screen. I think it's the worst that you can do for a photo. Not only photo, video, I mean. It's so important to print. It's so important to have I don't want to say in your hand, but I see the photo printed. So also the fact that you are doing exhibition, I think it's a great experience. How many exhibitions have you done so far?
I don't.
Okay, that many.
I don't think I have a specific count. Group shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. Over several. Solo shows, 2. And then I've also done duo shows where I work with another artist because I find it much more fun collaborating on that and the solo exhibition. But group shows are several.
So you're obviously not against of the group show.
No. I think it can be a lot of fun as well. Mm. And it's a great way to find other artists. Because if you're in a group show together, then you most likely have some interests, some similar interests. Mm. And that's a great way to find collaborators, but also friends.
Yeah, so. true, totally, totally. And of course, I think trusting the curator or the curators is really important.
Mm. But in general, if I decide to collaborate with someone, it's because I respect their values or enjoy their work. So, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to stop asking questions because otherwise this will go for another hour. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you. And bye-bye. This concludes our first interview. I want to thank Sanniva for the very interesting conversation. If you have interest in her work, you will find all the references in the podcast description. Also, if you want to be kept up to date on new episodes or Zero Feedback activities, you can follow us on Instagram at Zero Feedback without the vowels, so basically ZRFDPCK or Zero Feedback without the vowel, ZRFTBCK.com or subscribe to the newsletter. Thanks for listening. Until next time, bye bye.